Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for the Let's Face the Issues broadcast. This is Dr. Youngblood. Looking forward to an exciting show today. I pray that you're tuned in. I pray that you have your phone ready because we'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. As today we're going to be talking about creationism versus evolution and its effect on society. Creationism versus evolution and its effect on our society. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about issues, we do so from the truth of the Word of God. It's not a matter of what some ideology or some philosophy or some religion may say. It is a matter of what does the Bible say. You see, it's from a biblical worldview, and that is truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. He said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about truth. By the way, before we get into the monologue, just a little brief news article that I find sad but yet fascinating. Title of the article says, "Pastor and three others are stabbed at a church service in Texas." Dateline Corpus Christi, Texas. Four people were stabbed Wednesday during a church service at the Texas home, and a man is in custody. It was a church home setting. They were having the 40-day fast and prayer, and this man leapt up out of the group, stabbed the pastor right in the neck and four other people in the group. So I reckon we're going to ban knives now. I reckon we just need to ban knives. I need to say that knives are evil and wicked, and it's not the one that's using it, but the people that are using it. Ladies and gentlemen, it makes about as much sense as what we're finding today with the mantra about banning weapons. And we'll talk about that in just a moment to get into the subject matter of evolution versus creationism, or creation versus evolution, and its effect on our society today. Ladies and gentlemen, our national media and public discussion is still found on how or why could a young man, 19 years old, Nicholas Cruz, how could he kill 17 people and wound about a dozen others in a school in Parkland, Florida? It's still a sad scenario. We still need to be in much prayer for the family members of those that have been murdered, slain, massacred in that shooting. But ladies and gentlemen, most of the fake news continue with the mantra that we need to control guns. There needs to be gun control. Let me just give you a few of the arguments that are being set forth in today's society. We need to ban all guns. In fact, as a result of the shooting there, a group of young people in Parkland, Florida, have already started a movement. They're supposed to be having a major demonstration at the Capitol on March the 21st, I believe it is. And the demonstration is demanding that we ban guns. Well, it's coming out of the millennial age group, and they have no earthly idea what the Constitution says and the Bill of Rights and our right to keep and bear arms. And so they're doing it out of a knee-jerk response based on the murderous rampage of Nicholas Cruz and the damage that he's done to society. But they're talking about banning guns, banning bump stocks, banning rifles, ban the AR-15. We need to do better background checks as part of the mantra out there today. We need to increase the age from which a person can buy a gun. You see, the mantra is that a person cannot buy a handgun until he's 21. Therefore, it must be 21 before we can buy a rifle, hunting rifle, or anything of that nature. But ladies and gentlemen, if we can put our young men in military service to put their lives on the line at the age of 18, they should be old enough to make a decision. That's an adult make a decision on whether or not to buy a weapon. And if they have a clean background check, I'm in agreement with background checks to make sure that a felon does not have his hands on a weapon. Even at that, they're going to get a weapon if they want to use it. So it's a kind of a fallacious statement to say, if we have more laws, that somehow, some way we could stop it. But ladies and gentlemen, if we'd had all these additional laws on the books that I just spoke of, if we'd had all of these additional bans on the books, would it have stopped the massacre? Probably not. Most likely not. Why not? May I simply give us several reasons why, and that will be our segue into the subject discussion of creationism versus evolution and its effect on our society in which we're living. May I remind us, it's not the gun that is the problem. It's not a gun problem in America. It's a God problem. What do I mean by that? The Bible is banned from the classrooms. Prayer is banned from schools. No recognition of God's allowed. Students are taught that we're just evolutionary creatures. We evolved from a blob in the ocean, or evolved from apes and chimpanzees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Students are taught that the biblical record of creationism is simply a myth. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you a brief article here as part of the monologue for the introduction to our discussion. In a moment, I'll introduce Dr. Brett Iles. Dr. Iles is one of the Bible professors in Conservative Theological University. We're just going to be bounding about a few thoughts about creationism versus evolution and its effect on our society today. Here's an article. Atheist activist groups complain to a school district about that a teacher cast doubt upon evolution. Dateline, Kansas City, Missouri. One of the nation's most conspicuous profession atheist organizations recently sent a letter to a Missouri school district to lodge a complaint about a science teacher who reportedly had been teaching students from a biblical creation worldview instead of the evolutionary worldview. The Wisconsin-based Freedom from Religion Foundation, known as the FFRF, submitted the complaint to the Hickman Mills C1 School District after being informed that the seventh grade science teacher at the Smith Hill Middle School had been teaching a young earth theory and also belief that adhered to by Christians. Quote, this is what the letter said. We understand that one of the unit tests include questions to cast doubt upon evolution and our current understanding as the age of the earth. Among the reported questions which students were characterized as true or false were the statements. Listen to these statements, ladies and gentlemen. This is what their complaint was. This, by the way, is the root, the fundamental elemental problem that we find. And I believe, and may I simply say, it is my belief, my own philosophy, that as a result of being taught evolution in our schools as a fact, not even as a theory, but as a fact, not as a hypothesis, which it is, not as a theory, but as a fact, it's resulting in the deterioration and the destruction of our fundamental moral ethical foundation. Dr. Iles and I will be talking about the moral ethical implications in a moment. The questions that these folks were outraged about, here's one of them. Transitional forms have been found in the fossil records for all animals. True or false? That's false. Catastrophe supports sudden species appearance and the young earth theory. True or false? It's true. There's no evidence that dinosaurs and humans have ever coexisted. Is that true or false? It's false. We've got evidence replete in the fact that dinosaurs and men walked on the earth simultaneously. This group, the FFRF, opined that it was widely inappropriate for the teacher to be conveying religious-based beliefs to students and to question evolution. They further state, no controversy exists in the scientific community regarding the fact of evolution, they claim, and the teaching of an alternative theories or a controversy is not only inappropriate, it's dishonest, it's unconstitutional, and such a practice alienates other practices. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a farce, but they use that as a scare tactic to force teachers and schools to not teach what is the biblical record. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, and you can jump in this dialogue at any moment by dialing 401-1413, but listen very carefully. If we're going to segregate, separate, and divorce our worldview from what God says, then we have just undermined, we've just destroyed any potentiality of morals and ethics and values in the heart and the life of any student, any person. For example, evolution is taught as fact. Creationism is not taught at all in most, if any, of the schools. So as kids grow up, ladies and gentlemen, as your sons and your daughters grow up, if they're being allowed to be taught evolution is fact, whether mom and dad, whether you realize it or not, grandma and grandpa, whether you realize it or not, that grandchild or that son or that daughter is being fed a demonic lie. And as a result of that demonic lie, it's just as in the book of Judges, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And I believe with everything there is in me that this young man, Nicholas Cruz, because of evolutionary theory that had been taught as fact in all of his schooling, then why not act as an animal if you're just an animal? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, five of the most rejected words in the world, five of the most rejected words by evolution today is the statement, in the beginning, God. In the archaea, the beginning, God, theos, God created, bara, out of nothing, God called into existence everything that's in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, the question that begs to be asked and answered, did God create the world and man, or did man just evolve from a blob of matter? The biblical record should be our standard. In the beginning, God created. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, God created it all in 6 days, spoke it into existence. Ladies and gentlemen, we have here on the microphone with us today our guest for the dialogue and the discussion on the subject, creationism versus evolution and its effect on society today. Dr. Brett Iles. Dr. Iles is with us. He is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University teaching Bible in Old and New Testament and has the opportunity to touch on many of these subjects. Dr. Iles, start us out. I've set the stage. Where are we in society today? What should we be concerned about? What does the Bible say about creationism versus evolution? Does evolution have an impact morally, ethically, in our society today?
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood, and our audience. Well, basically, biblically speaking, this falls into the area of apologetics. And there are two aspects of that we can discuss. We can discuss the scientific and the moral and ethical. Let's just discuss one scientific thing, because I'm not a scientist, but I have done a little reading on it. And we'll focus in on the moral and ethical. So let's take a look at one element that, for instance, the Bible says God created and through speaking in 6 literal days. Well, the evolutionists say, well, the Big Bang happened, and from that we have billions of years. Well, and from the way they discuss it, to the average listener, it sounds like, well, we have 15 billion years to create. Lots of time. Wrong.
Some say 300 million, 200 million, 15 billion, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Well, number one, you have to have a place where this takes place. Mm-hmm. The Earth wasn't formed 5 billion years ago. So that cuts 10 billion out. Now, the Earth was too hot to support life at that point, so you have to wait till it's cool. So that, and I've looked up to between 3.5 billion to 400 million years as the low on that. Now, if you look at the literature, scientists show that the probability of complex life like us or plants is small, zero, statistically. According to mathematical calculation, your universe is even 100 billion years old. Is still not old enough. Another scientist said that he looked at the probability and says, well, there shouldn't even be life here because there's not enough time. The current scenario of the origin of life is about as likely as assemblage of a Boeing 747 by a tornado whirling through a junkyard. They're just, you know, if you look at bad mutations, the complexity of life, irreducible complexity. It just adds more and more time. And there just isn't enough time for us to appear.
That's right.
In the evolutionary model.
So that's one of the major problems. In fact, Ken Ham, when discussing this issue, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have in our campus bookstore about 6,000 titles, about 125,000-130,000 volumes. We have a major supply of the Ken Ham Answers in Genesis series that we'd love to have you come in and shop and look at. Answers in Genesis, Book 1, Book 2, Book 3, Book 4. They're books that range anywhere from 300 to 500 pages each. Then we have the whole DVD series on the relevance of Genesis, the fundamental foundations of Genesis, and all of the Book 1, 2, 3, and 4 that's on DVD as well as in book form. But it's very, very, very needful that you as moms and dads understand what the Bible says in relationship to creation. I find it fascinating, Dr. Isles, that when you read the scripture, it says in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, for example, and God said, and God saw, and God said, and God made, and God called the firmament, etc., etc. And on each of the creation days, at the conclusion of it, it says, and the morning and the evening were the first day. The morning and the evening were the second day. And the morning and the evening were the third day. The morning and the evening were the fourth day. The morning and the evening were the fifth day, and so forth. And so what I'm saying from that, Dr. Isles, we find in the biblical record the proof that the creation story was in six literal 24-hour cycle days, mm-hmm. not in the millions of years or the billions of years. Ken Ham would always say when he'd make those statements about the evolutionaries, the evolutionary philosophy and the evolutionists and what they say, billions of years, 5 billion, 10 billion, he's asked the question, were you there? Were you there? So Dr. Isles, tell us some things. If we believe in evolution, if a person grows up being taught evolution, what are some of the downward effects? What are some of the indelible effects? What effect does it have on an individual or on society if we believe in the evolutionary model?
Okay. In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, what does that mean? Oh, of course, and 1:26 says, God, let us make man in our image. Well, what does that mean when we have the breath of life? Well, ethically speaking, it means that everybody has a conscience and from God, even the unsaved, so that everybody has to be treated with respect because they have the breath of life with them. Now, if evolution is true, as some of the philosophers point out, that means only the strong survive, and only the strong make the rules. There are no rules. So therefore, you can do whatever you want because to another person because there's no ethics. Everyone does what is best in their own eyes, and we can just see it in the shootings in the schools today. So what does that mean? Well, for one thing, as society grows and the violence increases, there's no internal control from the people. So that means society or the government has to control loss of liberties.
Well, that's the whole point, Dr. Isles. If there's no creation, there's no God. And if there's no God, there's no answerability to God. So every man does that which is right in his own eyes. So the question is asked, did God create in just six literal days? And the answer to that is, of course, yes.
Yes.
There's no other way. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I find it fascinating and a thorough study of the creation story. You find that Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, God created. When you look at Colossians 1, verse 13 through 18, you find that the God that's spoken of there is the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the Colossians 1 text, it says that Jesus created everything that's visible and invisible, everything that's in heaven, under the heavens, on earth, and under the earth, and he created all of this, and it is by him, that is the Lord Jesus, that it all consists. That is, Jesus Christ is the divine superglue that's holding this whole world together. Dr. Isles, I understand from scientific studies that if this globe were to just waver 1 degree, we'd either melt or freeze. And so that shows that a creator controller is in control of this whole world. What do you have to say in relationship to some of those that will say, well, there's nothing wrong with believing evolution? What's wrong with a student or a person believing in the evolutionary model, as it is called?
Well, getting back to the ethical part of it is that if the evolution is true and there's no Genesis stories, where do you come up with the ethical rules for marriage, slavery, the rights of women? Throughout history, it's been the Christians with a biblical view that has championed
all of these issues.
All these issues, for the most, well, because they recognize, hey, Genesis 2:7, these people have the particularly read William Wilberforce. He's campaigned in Britain as a interesting Methodist Christian. He said, England, this is wrong. These African American people are slaves. It is wrong because they have the breath of life the same as you and me. Slavery should be abolished.
Right.
25 years later, on his deathbed, he got the news that the law was signed. You would not, if you believe in evolution, you really you don't have a biblical ethical foundation of the stand, as Ken Ham would say. You have evolution, you have sin and death existing millions of years before the...
Yes, but yet there's nothing in the evolutionary record, there's nothing in the geological record, there's nothing in the record of any evidence that will show any of those transitions prior to the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of fallacies, ladies and gentlemen, in what's being taught in the realm of evolution today. And yet the question begs to be asked, and some say, well, has an evolution been proven true? No, it has never been proven true. Is evolution a fact? No, it's fiction. Is evolution a religion? Yes, it's a religion today, and it's the religion that's being taught in all of our schools. And this is the reason your evolutionists, your atheists, and your heathens get all upset when there's any talk about putting anything about the biblical model called creationism into the classroom. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let's just do some thinking, and I want you to listen for a moment. If evolution is true, if Dr. Isles, for all of these millions of years, as they claim, there's been the transition from one species to another, a transition from a bird to a monkey, a transition from a fish to a man, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like someplace in the evolutionary record, in the archaeological find, that there would be some find of the transitional state. But ladies and gentlemen, there's not a single solitary evidence, not one iota of evidence of that transitional state. In fact, let me just read to you. I'm holding in my hand a book called The Lie by Ken Ham, and it's The Lie, which is the evolutionary millions of years theory. And he starts out here on page 69, the root problem, the root of the problem. Why do evolutionists not want to admit that the molecules to man evolution belief is really a religion? It is related to the fact that whatever you believe about your origins affect your whole worldview. It affects the meaning of life and so on. If there is no God and we are the result of chance, the result of random, the result of the random process, it means that there's no absolute authority. And if there's no absolute authority, no one that sets the rules, then everyone can do whatever he likes or hopes to do or wants to get away with, as we read in Judges 21:25, where it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see happening. That's what happened, Dr. Isles, with Nicholas Cruz.
Right.
He was doing what was right in his own eyes. Mm. Why did he do such a catastrophe? Why did he perform such a murderous massacre in Parkland, Florida? I believe it's because of the no God theory. I believe it's because of the evolutionary model. I believe it's because perhaps for the most of his life, he perhaps had, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, hypothetical on my part, I'm sure. There's the possibility he had never set foot in a church. Possibility he had never read a word from the Word of God. Possibility he had never sat under any doctrinal preaching. Possibility he had never been told that God loves us, God created us, and that we are made in the image of God. Dr. Iles, what does that say then in relationship to our morals? Not just the ethical, not just the scientific. What about the moral issue in creation versus evolution?
I think it's one of the it's the key to one of the keys to it. Like you say, if there's evolution is true, there's no where you get your values from. There's no basis for it other than men vote for what they want. Well, if men apparently have voted for abortion, is abortion right or wrong? Well, I think biblically speaking, no, because it's murder of somebody who has the breath of life in God. And you can sort of see what's happening in those countries that have sort of embraced this life. They have the lowest birth rate. They can't sustain their birth rates anymore. Why? Because they've abandoned Europe used to be the cradle of Christianity, right? They've abandoned all that. And
in fact, you say that, Dr. Iles, I believe the statistical data shows that in all of Europe, there's a professing Christianity of about 2%.
It's 2%.
2%. That's frightening. Here's an article, Dr. Iles, that I find fascinating. It says, evolution is dependent on a small beneficial mutation that propels organisms from developing from a single-celled organism to fish or to apes or to humans. And then under that, it says, if an eye did suddenly appear, where did the information that tells the organism how the eye works come from? I find that fascinating. It says if evolution is true, there had to be billions of intermediate animals. Where are they in the fossil records? They don't exist. No evidence of any mermaids, for example, exists any place. I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this subject today because I believe it's an integral part of what's happening in the denigration, the disintegration, and the destruction of our foundation and our society. Dr. Iles, we've got about a minute left. What are some of the things you'd like to wrap up with in relationship to what our listeners need to understand about the dangers of evolution and that model versus creationism and what God's Word says? What should we believe? How should we respond? Francis Schaeffer, back in the 60s, made the statement, how should we then live? Based on the evolution being fictitious and no facts, based on creation being an absolute fact, what should we do? What should we believe? How should we respond?
I think if you look at the overall evidence that we should reject evolution and believe the Bible and live from the Word of God.
Yes, sir, because the Bible says, in the beginning, God. Mm-hmm. And that sets the standard, ladies and gentlemen, throughout the balance of the text, in the beginning, God. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he spoke it into existence. It didn't evolve. It wasn't billions of years, millions of years, hundreds of millions of years. God did it. That settles it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if we can recognize the dangers where we're going in our society, if we continue to allow our sons and our daughters to be brainwashed with the theory, the hypotheses, now called an absolute fact, it is a religion called evolution. If we continue to allow them to be brainwashed, we can expect more of the Nicholas Cruises in America to exist, and therefore puts all of society in danger because we've rejected God, we've embraced evolution, and we've embraced a no-God philosophy and theory that destroys the foundation of our value system in America. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We're looking forward to being with you on the air tomorrow as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.